This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. And Anthony, you've seen the movie Moneyball, right?
Yes, absolutely. So it's based on the book by Michael Lewis. It stars Brad Pitt, who plays Billy Bean as the general manager of the Oakland A's. And he was among the first in the game to defy tradition and use statistics to build a winning team.
Yeah, and there's a scene where Bean is sitting in a small room and his assistant, a man in the movie named Peter Brand, who's played by Jonah Hill. And he's talking to Bean, and there's spreadsheets and numbers and equations that flash all over the screen. And Brand is telling Billy Bean, you've got to look past the biases about players and just let the numbers do the talking.
So using this equation on the upper left right here, I'm projecting that we need to win at least 99 games in order to make it to the postseason. We need to score at least 814 runs in order to win those games and allow no more than 645 runs.
What's this?
This is the code that I've written for our year-to-year projections. This is building in all the intelligence that we have to project players.
Okay.
It's about getting things down to one number. Using stats the way we read them, we'll find value in players that nobody else can see.
Value that nobody else can see, getting things down to one number. And it sort of worked for Billy Bean. He didn't win a World Series, but he did use stats to build a contender. And a lot of teams, including the Red Sox, followed the example.
Aha. What if an even larger organization followed the Moneyball example? What if, like, a city government did it?
Why not?
To run a city. Well, in fact, that is what's happening right here in Boston, because earlier this month, City Hall announced a new program that's intended to calculate or provide an overall score for how Boston is doing. It's called City Score, and joining us now in the studio to tell us more about it is Daniel Coe. He's chief of staff for Boston Mayor Marty Walsh. Daniel, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, City Score, in a nutshell, did we describe it pretty accurately? What is it?
Absolutely. I think it's a way of taking all of the different statistics we're tracking in the city, everything from the percentage of buses that are arriving on time to the number of potholes we filled from the day before, into one simple number so that the mayor can say, in a given day, on all of the metrics that we're tracking, how did we do? Did we win the game or are we losing the game? One day, it may not be a huge deal, but if it becomes a trend over time, we're able to identify it much quicker with a scoring system than if we were just looking up and saying, oh, we filled 50 potholes today, and then we filled 60 the next day.
Right. So give us a little bit more about the mechanics. Is it like on a scale from 1 to 10, or what's the number that gets generated?
So every single I'll take a step back and say that when the mayor first came into office, he laid out his qualitative vision on things like housing, economic development, et cetera. And what we did was we then sat with all the cabinet chiefs and said, okay, here's the qualitative vision. But let's set key metrics to that vision, right? So each of the cabinet chiefs is responsible for about 5 or 10 metrics they're tracking to help advance the mayor's agenda. Each one of those has targets, right? So the way we've designed it is if you're scoring a 1 on a specific metric, that means that you're hitting your target exactly. Anything above 1 means that you're exceeding. Anything below 1 means you're not hitting the target. And what the city score does is take all of those targets and just gives it one number.
I see. Okay. So, and who are you working with to I presume there's a very powerful algorithm behind all of this that crunches all that data.
We wanted to make it relatively simple, with the idea being that we wanted to iterate on it. And also, we hope that in the future, other cities will replicate this and they can use it as well to better govern the way their cities are going. The mayor announced in his State of the City address in January that he was assembling an analytics team, a mayor's office of analytics, for the first time in the city. So we took about 15 people all across city government, everybody from the advanced number crunchers to myself, to members of the technology department, to put together this team. And what we're really thinking about is how can we come up with actionable data for the mayor, right? It's one thing to have data that you look at. It's one thing for Billy Bean to have a bunch of stats, but what's the roll-up number that he can then say, we can make moves based on this data, right? And that's what City Corps is trying to do.
But I presume that all the data aren't equally weighted, though. I mean, like, a city is a complicated thing, way more complicated than a baseball team.
Absolutely, and it's a great point. And what we're looking at now is how do we take the next step with the weightings, right? Because you can imagine that if you're looking at part one crime versus number of library visits, both of those are very important to a city, but I think it would make sense to weight the part one crime a little bit more when the mayor's looking at an overall score than the number of library visits, right? So those are the things that we're looking through. Obviously, it becomes a little political because some constituencies really do care about certain areas of the city over other things. So we're both going to do one for the mayor's dashboard dashboard, but I think the ultimate vision is that citizens can weight what they want. So they can literally choose the different data points that are important to them, weight it how they want on literally a sliding scale, so that the people who really do care about libraries above Part 1 crime in the Boston community can score accordingly.
Like so that's the overall goal, to make these data and the algorithm or the tool available to all Bostonians, yeah, if they want to?
Even larger, to the entire public at large. I mean, what we hope to do, especially with making the weighting system dynamic to the public, is that if a mayor, say, in Nashville, Tennessee, has a different set of priorities, he or she can weight different priorities accordingly, right? So we want to make sure that's important, because the mayor's dashboard and what the mayor has as priorities for the city may be different from a mayor somewhere else in the world, in Asia, for example.
I see. Okay. So I want to get back to CityScore in some detail in just a moment. But,
sure.
But let's kind of take a slight detour here.
Absolutely.
Because, Daniel, I've read that that this baseball analogy that we built in at the top is obviously isn't by accident. That, like, you actually had, when you were younger, you had your eye on becoming the Red Sox GM.
My fantasy was to be GM of the Red Sox. And after reading Moneyball, the movie hadn't been out yet, I took a course on statistics in college and studied clutch hitting, which at the time, one of the things in Moneyball they talk about is that oftentimes we remember big moments for a player, and we then call them clutch, him or her clutch. But oftentimes when you try to quantify that, you can't really find that in the numbers. So I tried to quantify that. I thought it was a pretty good report. I submitted it to all 30 Major League Baseball teams, and I got 30 rejections. So that door kind of slammed on me relatively quickly. But you know, when I first talked to Mayor Walsh, and he talked about how he wanted the city of Boston to be, he told me that he wanted Boston to be the first true 21st century American city, meaning using all the technology at our disposal to best serve the public.
Yeah.
So that's where this data stuff really came from, and I mixed in the baseball stuff because I'm a little biased.
Well, Major League Baseball's oversight is the city of Boston's gain, let me tell you that. But so you mentioned clutch players and how sometimes the numbers don't really reveal how a player might do in a big moment,
yeah,
playoff game, yeah, or like, you know, the ninth inning of a tie game or something.
Right.
In fact, I was talking to Anthony about this earlier, and he pointed to exactly that all the numbers in the world don't sometimes tell us in those pinch moments how someone's going to do. And I wonder if the same applies for a city. Like,
yeah,
a tool like CityScore doesn't necessarily tell you how Boston's going to do in the wake of an immediate tragedy, like how well the city came together around the bombing or how not so well the city functioned in last winter's ongoing storms.
Absolutely. No, it's absolutely true. And I think one of the things the mayor emphasizes with this is that it's just a tool, right? That nothing will ever replace the shaking of a hand or the appearance at a community event. And what I often say, and what people come to me, a lot of people say, who cares about these metrics or fancy apps, you know, et cetera. I think that in a vacuum, the answer is nobody. I think the outcomes that come as a result of this data is really important. People don't care about fancy apps or fancy data, but they do care if their trash is picked up on time. They do care if they're driving out of their driveway into the street and they don't hit a pothole, right? And all of those things can be improved using tools like CityScore to better improve the lives of constituents in Boston.
What about those more cynical Bostonians among us,
yeah,
who may bring up this point? I think it's a very valid one, that A, you know, City Hall predating Marty Walsh's administration. I mean, and I don't mean to denigrate Mayor Menino's administration at all,
sure,
but like there were concerns among some quarters about transparency,
right?
Right? So maybe having a data-driven City Hall alleviates some of those concerns. But on the other hand, you know, like you can have data say virtually anything you want.
Yep. Yep.
And like, you know, could it be used as a tool to say things are going better than maybe they really are for folks in some neighborhoods?
So the beauty of this is that we're making all the formulas public. So if people are concerned about transparency or whether we're gaming the system, they can do the calculations themselves if they wish and see that we're not. And I think the reality is we plan to make all of those formulas and the dashboard public. So the same thing that the mayor is going,
right,
to see in his office, we'll see as well, because that's what we want to see. If we see a lot of red, which means it's under one, we'll be able to say, okay, you know, the chief of streets, for example, we're seeing that your lights on street light repairs are really trailing behind your target. Let's come up with a solution and let's be public about it. And we can actually celebrate this tool as one of the ways that we can identify that faster.
Yeah. So Boston has actually had some significant success with Street Bump, right?
Yep.
That's an app that allows residents themselves to like geotag where street conditions, where they are. And you mentioned other cities. I'm looking at New York analyzed data from eviction notices to predict where cases were most likely to end in homelessness. Seattle's got an algorithm to predict which area of the cities are likely to experience crime at different times. So this idea of a data-driven city is really taking hold across the United States. But I also wonder, I mean, I mentioned Mayor Menino a little earlier. You know, he very famously told your boss just before Mayor Walsh's first day, like, don't forget the neighborhoods. Like, go out there and be with the people. You know, Mayor Menino famously drove around the city all day, practically every day in his car, like personally meeting people and logging what he saw. There's an art to governance that maybe data still can't reach.
Absolutely. And that's absolutely true. I think what's helpful with what we're doing now with our 311 app, for example, what we just released, is that it allows people to both feel like they're improving their city, like being able to report a piece of graffiti online, but we're also able to make it feel more personal to constituents. So, for example, when you submit a pothole now, not only do you get a photo of the filled pothole, but you get a photo of the team that filled it. Right, so it allows you to feel a little bit closer, closer to city government, and feel like you're having a feedback loop there. But absolutely right. I mean, the mayor does not believe that this is a substitute for being in the communities, going to senior centers, all of the things that mayors should be doing. But he thinks it's a way to better improve people's lives and result in a reduction of the kind of complaints that a lot of people living in a city have, like they see graffiti or like they just hit a pothole.
Yeah, what do you think the limits are to using data in terms for city governance?
I think there are a number of them, right? Like, as you mentioned, gauging the general feel of a neighborhood, right after the Boston bombing, I think we can all agree that there was a tremendous feeling of patriotism towards Boston, a lot of positive energy towards rallying around our city, right? To an extent, you might be able to measure that a little bit on social media, but it's really hard to do that, right? Quantifying the intangibles and how people are feeling becomes difficult with data, and I don't think that we should ever really try. At the end of the day, I think the mayor needs to most, if we're talking about waiting here, I think the mayor needs most to wait when he goes out and he goes to coffees in different neighborhoods of the city of Boston, what the feedback he's getting, how people are talking to him about his performance, what areas are most important to them. I think those are the ones that we should be most paying attention to and not necessarily just completely taking city score in a vacuum.
Yeah, because there's, I mean, this question of like, how do you measure value? How do you measure what really, you know, beyond the mechanics of city life, what genuinely contributes to the day-to-day quality of life?
Right.
There's like, can data help us solve the big problems that Boston's facing, housing, cost of living, et cetera, et cetera? But I have to say, like, one of the things that I really love about my job is that I get to talk to people like you who are in influential sort of forward-thinking policy positions. And I also get to talk to people who are thinking about these issues at like a 60,000 foot level, because this past summer I spoke with someone named Michael Stonebreaker. He's at MIT. Mm-hmm. And he is like one of the godfathers of big data. We talked to him because he had won the Turing Prize, it's like the Nobel Prize, right?
For
computer science. And it's funny because he's currently working on a project for, as he said, a three-letter governmental agency that he's not at liberty to tell us about. So you take your guess which one it is.
Sure.
But I asked him this similar question to you. I said, hey, you are a man that possibly more than anyone on this planet knows about what big data can do. What can it not do? And he said to me, it cannot tell us. You can have anything correlate with data, mm-hmm. but it still doesn't tell us causation. You can find the needle in the haystack, but it doesn't tell you if it's definitely a needle or why the needle was there. And I wanted to bring that example to you because I'm wondering, when it comes to actually making decisions, when it comes to actually, you know, creating policy, you know, can the data, if it only gives us correlation and not causation, can it help us do that in a meaningful way?
I think it can help with, I don't want to go up against an MIT Turing Prize awardee. It might be a little bit difficult to do that. But, you know, it's interesting because I think looking at one piece of data in a vacuum makes it difficult to determine causation. But if you're looking at different data sets and visualizing it, it can actually be helpful. A small example is what we're doing during Alston Christmas, for example. We looked at all of the different cleaning fees, ticketing, street cleaning fees we were getting in different cars, and we had this map, and we said, this is weird. Why is this happening? We then pulled the moving permits that Public Works were giving, and it lined up almost instantaneously, right? So we were getting moving permits. People were staying beyond their moving permit times, leaving their car there. Therefore, there was a spike, right? So we were able to determine the cause by taking another data set on there. That doesn't always happen, of course, but being able to be smart about looking at different data being collected by different departments or different areas can help us get at least an indication of what's causing certain phenomena to happen in the city.
But you see what I'm saying about cautions around data utopianism when it comes to running a city. So last question, when is a city score going to be available for?
So city score, by the end of the year, we're going to have it live. The mayor talked about it, he talked about the data team initially in January. I recently talked about it at a TEDx Cambridge event. But in January, when the mayor talks at the State of the City, we anticipate having city score boards there live.
Oh, terrific. Yeah. Okay, great. Well, Daniel Coe, chief of staff, I should say, for Boston Mayor Marty Walsh, and he thinks a lot about big data and how to use it to improve the lives of the residents of the city of Boston. Always great to talk to you, Dan. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Stay with us. Coming up, winter is coming, but you're not alone. We're going to have a couple of people in here to help you prepare for the coming onslaught. Or maybe not. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.